You're listening to Season 2 of Ask Wolves. In this episode, I'll be speaking with General Manager of Marketing and Commercial Growth, Russell Jones. Well, Russ, there's an awful lot going on away from the actual football pitch that's become hugely important to the club's growth and the club's long-term plans, and we're hoping, and fans are hoping, that you can sort of enlighten us a bit on that. Why is brand growth so important to Wolves?
Well, look, we very recently, Deloitte Money League came out and we were actually 17th, which is, you know, is fantastic to be in that top 20 clubs now in Europe in terms of the, you know, the Football Money League. But, you know, we have aspirations to challenge the top six. And from our perspective, we're currently a long, long way away from that. You know, 600% away from Tottenham, 1,000% away from Manchester United. So we need to do things slightly differently from them in order to catch them, which is why, you know, fans are hearing quite a lot about Wolves Records, hearing a lot about Wolves Esports, about Wolves Fashion. And these are the ways in which we're trying to be different. So when we can talk to potential commercial partners, we've got a different story to the likes of, you know, Leeds and Newcastle and Southampton, and it is starting to reap real benefits for us.
There have been a lot of questions on esports, which you mentioned then. Why has that become so important? Why is that a route to success?
Well, I mean, esports is it's a huge phenomenon at the moment. You know, it's interesting that not more clubs have really got behind it. You know, we've seen huge growth in our fan base in esports, particularly in China, where we now have six professional teams. And one of those, our Honor of Kings team, has actually got over 20 million social followers. Their star player, their GOAT, actually has more social followers than Raul Jimenez. You know, and we are now starting to see some commercial value in that. So, you know, in China, for example, we'd be better known as an esports team rather than a football team. So, you know, for us, it's an opportunity to engage with a brand new audience, a more audience that may not have heard of us before as a football club. Yeah. So it's another, if you like, pillar of our story.
So in that sense, how can it translate to what's happening on the football pitch? Where can the tangible benefits to the football team be seen if this growth continues? When will the sort of benefits be seen?
I think the benefits are already being seen. And certainly, you know, we have marketing partnerships with some of the big publishers. So Fortnite, for example, you know, there are, you know, over 350 million registered users of Fortnite. So to have wall skins within the, you know, within the game is a huge benefit for us. We were able to turn that into a tangible product of, you know, sort of 2,000 replica jerseys, which sold out in 48 hours. So, you know, we're already seeing tangible benefits. Our teams in China, which have over 20 million social followers, are already recording some really good sponsorship revenues. So, you know, we're already starting to see those tangible benefits. Again, it's early days, Johnny, but, you know, we're very happy with how that project has progressed.
And you touched on it before, but some supporters have asked where Wolves lie in the Premier League table of sort of brand growth and how far behind they are or ahead of others they are, and can they rise in that table?
Yeah, look, I mean, we're growing faster than anyone, which again is exciting for us. We've got to continue that growth, and by having that different story, we believe opens us up to different audiences, whether that's in, you know, music, whether that's in esports, whether that's in fashion. Quite frankly, audiences that never would have followed us ordinarily as an FC. And, you know, anecdotally, I've heard stories of, particularly in the, you know, in the through the Fortnite collab that we did, that, you know, fans of, or young fans of other football clubs have just thought our uniform's cool in the game and therefore have bought that Fortnite shirt. And does that start to plant a little seed of association to the club? Of course it does. And look, you know, ultimately everything we're doing in these different pillars is to support our core product, which is on the pitch.
Have you got any plans to increase the coverage of the under 23s and the under 18s, particularly on social media, to sort of build a profile around them?
Again, if that's what, you know, our fans want, then that's certainly something we'll look at. We know, I believe, we're one of the very, very few clubs that broadcast all of our under 23 games live at the moment. Obviously, that serves a purpose in terms of introducing our fans to young players that are coming through. We've also got a player marketing team now. So again, there is going to be some of those young lads that aren't going to make it into our first team. So to be able to give other scouts, you know, other clubs, the opportunity to see those players come in, and so they've got pathways. That's another, you know, very important part of being able to cover those events live. So, you know, to answer your question, Johnny, yeah, if that's what the fans want, that's certainly something we'll look at a little bit more.
And where are the benefits in overseas fans, you know, in the wider concept of the club and the supporters here on the ground? The supporters here are the ones putting a lot of money in. What can overseas fans give you on the whole?
Well, I think that every fan adds value. And again, every, even social follower adds value. So, you know, whether it's from attending here in the stadium, which we are today, whether it's, you know, buying retail products, whether it be from our e-com store or physically in person, or whether that's simply watching our content, you know, so even looking at something like the, you know, the Code Red documentary, which we were able to sell into broadcasters, again, unsurprisingly, particularly popular in Mexico. We were also able to sell that to 100 sort of airline entertainment systems. It's also had, you know, 1.5 million views on YouTube. Again, unsurprisingly, 80% of those views have come from Mexico, and every single one of those views has an advertising value for us. So our fans all around the world can contribute in lots and lots of different ways, not just tangibly being here in the stadium.
The Mexican-American link is obviously comes from Raul Jimenez. Do you think if he doesn't stay at Wolves, that is something that can be maintained, or do you think that will go when the player goes?
No, I think there's a bit of both with that. I know that last time we had Ask Wolves, Johnny, I took a little bit of stick because I think I suggested that, well, I think the viewers, I'd suggested that every one of our social followers was a hardcore fan. And look, you know, the reality is, of course, that's not the case. But, you know, I get to see it, I guess, firsthand. So when I travelled over to Mexico to stand in a bar with 100 other, you know, kind of Mexican Wolves fans in their jersey screaming the team on, gives me a certain amount of sort of blinker. But, you know, look, I think that, will there be, you know, still a Mexican fan base after Raul? You know, of course we still believe that. We understand he's vitally important to that. We want to, you know, I'm very much hoping a legacy comes through so there'll be the next Mexican superstar join Wolves in the future. And of course we're now looking at sort of first, second, third generation Mexican Americans to again help tell our story in that particular country.
Yeah, I think the Code Red documentary, it broke new ground in terms of an in-house media production. Obviously, something you need to be very proud of. Some supporters have asked, what's next? Any other documentary plans?
Yeah, absolutely. You know, we're really excited about that. I know it was a huge, huge task internally for the, you know, for the team and what a fantastic job they did. I mean, I was recently traveling to a conference in Miami, and despite the fact I've watched that documentary 30 times, I was really pleased to see it on the entertainment system, and even then got sort of choked up watching it on the plane over to Miami. So absolutely, you know, that's something we really want to do more of. And it won't necessarily just be in football. You know, we're already talking about Wolves Records, the first year of Wolves Records. You know, we've got five artists that are currently under contract, and we'd love to tell that story of the first 12 months of the Wolves Records project. So yeah, answer that question, Johnny. It's definitely something we're looking at.
And why was Wolves Records launched again? That's come up amongst supporters wanting to know why you've branched out into that area.
So, you know, we thought we couldn't really believe that no other sort of football or sports brand had done it before, because it just looks like such a natural fit. You know, you've got a live venue here. We've got sort of 30 million social followers through all our different channels that we can introduce, you know, music to almost, you know, immediately. So that's really almost that was the starting piece. Then of course we spoke to Warner Music. They got, you know, really excited about the prospect as well, and almost very, very quickly then we came together to work on the project. I think that not only can it be a very, very big revenue opportunity for the football club, but it also gives local talent a platform. There's so much local talent in, you know, in Wolverhampton, and we've been really lucky to see some of that through our Louder events. Being able to give that local talent a platform, I think we should all be really proud of that.
Yeah, is that an important aspect of it, that the community is being served in a way here beyond football?
Yeah, it's a massive part of it. It's a huge part of it. I mean, you know, one of the artists, you know, Reaper, he's actually providing music over our HomeKit launch video. You know, we're really excited to be able to give him that platform. He's a fantastic guy and an incredibly talented artist. So what an amazing opportunity for both him and us to introduce him to a huge audience.
We've had a specific question about the shirt sponsorship from Manbex. Is that continuing? And if not, are you looking at another possibility?
So this will be the last of the 3 years of Manbex's sponsorship with the club. Huge thanks to them. You know, it's been a great relationship, but we will be moving on to a new front of shirt partner in 22-23. And of course, news of that will be revealed to fans very soon.
A lot of supporters have said experiences inside other Premier League grounds, for fans attending matches are better than Wolves, particularly in terms of the South Bank infrastructure. Do you see that? Have you got any thoughts on that one?
I must admit, I'm quite surprised to hear that one, Johnny. I mean, we really pride ourselves on the atmosphere that, you know, is here in Molineux Stadium, whether that's through the, you know, the pyros, the live DJs, the light shows. So I'm actually, you know, I'm quite surprised to hear that fans think the atmosphere or the match experience is better elsewhere. I'd perhaps love to pick up with that fan and find out exactly which away grounds he's talking about. But we continue to work on this with a small focus group of fans, which we call the Matchday Experience Group. And it's really, really important to us to create a vibrant, buzzing atmosphere here at Molineux.
I think the PA system might have a bit to do with it. Historically, even before your time, Wolves never seems to have got the PA system right since they redeveloped the ground. And I'm going back 20 years or so when the music or the spoken word, it doesn't quite sound right. Do you understand that?
100%. I really do understand that. And I know, again, interestingly, from that group of fans, that quite often on a match day, I'll get told it's really loud here or it's really quiet over there. And it is a really, really complicated thing to get right. We work, you know, closely with a company that works in the stadium. We get all the sort of the dynamics correct, you know, on a non-match day, and then on a match day it can be difficult. But you know, one of the things that certainly was brought to our attention was that difficulty of hearing those interviews at halftime, which again I think is absolutely fair. I've experienced that as well. So we've tried to take those interviews onto our big screens. So again, now at halftime, those interviews we'll do beforehand and we'll play them out on the big screens. It's a, you know, it's a fix for now, but we absolutely accept it's something we need to work hard on.
And the big screens themselves, many supporters feel they possibly are in need of updating or could go all together and be used for extra seating.
Yeah. Again, look, I think that's another part of stadium redevelopment we've been talking about. It is an incredibly expensive thing to do, to take those screens and move them onto the roofs. But, you know, again, it's one of those projects that's in the, you know, in the pipeline to get looked at.
And the goal music has come up in a lot of questions. A lot of supporters saying they don't like it. It sounds a bit tin pot. It maybe sounds as if you're trying to create something that's not there. Where do you stand on goal music?
Me personally, I stand completely neutral on goal music. I get it too. I see some of that feedback. I think from our perspective, it's difficult because we understand a little bit. It's football. Some fans will love it. Some fans won't like it. I think on a match day, when you see the whole stadium getting up and sort of dancing to the music, and then clearly at away games, they sing it themselves, that it's a difficult one for us to interpret. But again, look, you know, I think we're open-minded to that. And actually, if the majority of fans didn't want goal music, you know, we'll stop it. It's not something we're precious about. We want what the fans want. We want to create a great atmosphere here. And if that's, you know, something that, you know, the majority of fans don't want to see anymore, then it's something we can lose.
Yeah, I think it was a tune that got a cult following on the trip to Barcelona. And obviously, when you had the empty stadium, it really worked. But to some degree, would you say it could sort of squash or quash the natural sounds that the South Bank in particular make? You know, the roar of the crowd disappears when the music's being blasted over the sort of PA system.
I think if the fans were trying to sing something else, then maybe that would be the case. But the fans are actually singing that, you know, that particular song. So you're right. You know, we would never want to introduce music that kind of fought with the fans singing. So it's one we'll definitely happily look at.
Are there any stadium redevelopment plans? We're in front of the Steve Ball stand now, which is obviously the dated stand here at Molineux. What are the latest on plans for any sort of redevelopment?
Look, I mean, you know, as Jeff said, really, in Ask Wolves last year, that the priority still remains in this order, which is number one, team, number two, training ground, and number three, stadium. But, you know, I want to sort of reassure fans that doesn't mean to say that we've down tools on the stadium. You know, we understand that, actually, this is home. This is home of the football club, and we want to keep improving it. We want our supporters to be proud of it, and we especially understand that the Steve Ball needs some work.
Are the club accepting the fact then that they're going to lag behind because there's redevelopments going on at Leicester and Everton, which comparable sizes to Wolves in terms of ambition, and obviously Wolves are going to fall behind there?
No, I don't think that's the case. Firstly, because that's not our commercial strategy, as I probably said already. You know, if we just do the same as every other football club, we're never going to catch that elite six. So, you know, our commercial focus has very much been in extending the club's story in other areas, so in esports, in music, in fashion. That doesn't mean to say the stadium is not important. It's just that the commercial return is much faster in those areas in terms of being able to grow our story, being able to grow our fan base, being able to commercialise it, and we sit down with sponsors and we're able to tell them a different story. That's important. Of course, stadium redevelopment is important, but the idea of falling behind, you know, Everton or Leicester because we're not immediately redeveloping our stadium is not something we're concerned about.
Is that make it a sort of feeling that it's not worth it then? Because supporters would obviously look at the Steve Bull and say there's an opportunity being missed with each year that goes through, and they've got a stand from the 1970s that they're sitting in.
Yeah, no, look, I think that, you know, as we stand here now, we have a nine stage plan to redevelop this stand, you know, which again, I'm quite happy to sort of share with supporters in terms of what that looks like. So, you know, you can probably see here that the lower tier is some considerable distance away from the pitch. So that the first part of that redevelopment plan would be to, you know, again, this is like we're quite lucky and fortunate. This is built in two complete sections, which is the lower section and the upper section. So we can demolish the lower section. We can actually reprofile it up to the second LED, which would bring the lower tier much, much closer to the pitch. That enables just over 1,100 seats to be on top of what we have already. That enables us to move our away fans, which I know, again, is one of those things that the club have been looking to do for quite a while. That would also mean that we have to redevelop our hospitality facilities on that second tier, which we would do as part of that development. There's a void space out the back where we can build a restaurant. And also, because of that reprofiling, it enables us to increase the size of the concourse on both the lower and the upper tier, which is, we'd actually be doubling the space of that concourse. So, and then aesthetics as well, of course. So making the plate glass, which is on the outside of the steeple, would be sort of illegal today in terms of health and safety, in terms of building a new stadium. So we'd look to change those aesthetics much closer to the Stan Cully stand. That investment, Johnny, is about £16 million with funding. It's closer then to 20 with a, you know, sort of 14, 15 year payback. So it is a considerable investment. It is also a long payback. So again, these are commercial factors that we have to consider. But is it something that we want to do? Of course. And we're very aware that we are leaving, you know, sort of, you know, opportunities financially on the table by not investing in this stand.
Okay. A few more questions concerning the match day experience. Wi-Fi, a lot of fans said it's just not good enough. Any plans to upgrade it?
Again, there's always plans. We're always, again, looking at Wi-Fi. So if you're inside the stadium bowl currently, there is Wi-Fi. There's not Wi-Fi external to the bowl. And I suppose there's always that slight catch-22 for us in terms of whether we really want fans sort of glued to their mobile or we want them enjoying the match experience. And also, it's not a cheap thing to do. It's actually quite a complicated thing to do, to be able to offer people that really, really top service. I mean, if people start to... And if 1,000 people start to stream Netflix from their phone during a game, that's going to cause some pretty, some pretty high volume on our sort of broadband. So, look, yes, Wi-Fi is something we are looking to do. I'm sure we'll be locking it into certain opportunities within the stadium. So whether that's ordering food from your seat, whether that's sort of video replays to your seat, as opposed to, you know, opening it up so fans in the stadium can watch another game on Sky Sports.
Well, that would be suggesting that the game on the pitch isn't the best, so maybe we shouldn't go there on that one. The fan park has obviously opened up possibilities and a lot of supporters enjoy engaging with it. Have you got any plans to upgrade it, offer better food choices, music, entertainment, and make it more of a focal point?
Yeah, definitely. So we're currently in planning permission to actually build a permanent fan zone. So again, it's been super, super popular for us. It's great to see, you know, fans enjoying that space. The permanent application is in currently with the council, and our idea is that becomes a location not just for match days, but it also becomes an opportunity and a space for us to use on a non-match day, whether that's as almost an open air cinema or a place to host concerts, again on a small scale, or whether it's, you know, some of our partners can use it, for example the university on one of their open days. So yeah, that's in planning, and, you know, fingers crossed we can get that through and set up for the start of next year.
And that would be important, wouldn't it, because I think a lot of fans are saying that Wolves needs to become a venue that can be used, or parts of Wolves can be a venue that can be used away from the match day in terms of gaining revenue. Do you see that as a reasonable stream of income?
Yeah, look, I don't think it'll reinvent our world, that, but, you know, Molineux, in terms of use as a facility outside of match days, is incredibly important. I mean, you know, we touched on the Steeble stand earlier and that reprofiling of the lower stand. Now, one of the issues we have is that we don't have big enough exit and exit points to host concerts with a standing capacity. That's a problem because the biggest and the best acts in the world, they want that sort of roaring atmosphere on the pitch with everyone standing, and therefore we're not currently able to host those concerts. But by reprofiling the lower stand, we're able to build a section which will be completely removable, which again ticks a box for now making us a venue that's open for huge music concerts.
And are those plans on hold, or are they genuinely being explored?
Absolutely, genuinely being explored. You know, we really want this stadium to be as good as it possibly can be. This summer's really tricky because, you know, we're hosting three England internationals, which we're also, you know, incredibly proud of. And then, of course, we've got the World Cup happening in winter, which means that opportunity to redevelop this summer is really short. But, you know, earlier on, a month or so ago, I was sitting in a Euro 2028 bid meeting with Wolverhampton City Council, which would give Wolverhampton the opportunity to apply to be one of the host cities for that championship. I mean, what an incredible opportunity for the club and the city. And of course, making sure that our facilities are ready and improved for, you know, of course, that day and before is something that's, you know, very, very important to us.
In Ask Wolves last year, the topic of interest rates was raised by Jeff as one of the reasons why the club wasn't too keen on exploring mass redevelopment. Is that still an issue?
Yeah, I mean, it is. The reality is that I think, again, having sort of looked at some of the feedback afterwards from fans, and there was question marks around the fact that surely interest rates are the lowest they've ever been. And, you know, I think the interpretation was probably that residential interest rates are the lowest they've ever been. But, you know, unfortunately, the reality is that a football stadium is really high risk. You know, if Wolves, for whatever reason, don't play in this stadium, then suddenly this becomes an incredibly expensive stadium to maintain, which generates no revenue. And as a result of that, you know, banks are not as keen to lend to football club stadium redevelopment projects as they, of course, would be to residential mortgages. So, you know, we're working hard, looking at private equity. Of course, we're looking at government funding as well with the council. But interest rates are significant. And, you know, even, you know, I talked about the 16 million investment that's required on the Steeple. You know, as a huge Wolves fan, there's nothing that gives me more pride than to see the South Bank redeveloped into a, you know, sort of double its size, which actually would go from 5,000 to 10,000, which again are part of our plans. But that's, you know, that's a £30 million investment, and of course what comes with that is, you know, a significant interest from funding. So, you know, in answer to your question, is it still an issue? It's something we're working on, because we need to try and find the best possible interest rates to be able to support that finance that's required.
Okay. Staying with finance, one supporter has asked about the crypto coin and whether or not Wolves could launch one.
Yeah, look, again, I think that we're in this really modern world now, and I think NFTs, fan tokens, it's something that need to be part of our strategy. I mean, certainly, I remember probably 10 years ago now, speaking to PlayStation Home about the idea of us putting virtual football kits into their sort of home screen, and I thought they were crazy. I was like, no one is going to buy virtual football jerseys. But, you know, here we are in 2022, and I know in 2021 Fortnite did 4.3 billion in-game purchases. FIFA 21 actually took 1.6 billion in Ultimate Team packs. You know, so in the old days where, you know, me and you are probably going to the news agents and buying a pack of Panini stickers and hoping we're going to get Annie Mutch and Steve Bull in there, or if we're dead lucky, sort of a shiny Wolves badge. The reality is that kids these days are actually using their pocket money to buy in-game items. So therefore, that generation are absolutely interested in NFTs, in fan tokens, and, you know, we need to be very mindful of that and building our strategy around it. But the key for us is doing our due diligence and making sure that any company that we're working with are truly in it to benefit both our fans, those that choose to invest in you know, in the product, and also investors. That's really important to us to get it right.
Yeah, we've seen a lot of football clubs engage with NFTs, but there are certain negatives attached to that. And you mentioned the benefits for fans, and there is a sense that maybe fans don't always benefit from NFTs. I mean, is it something Wolves are looking at?
Yeah, no, Wolves are absolutely looking at it. I think NFTs are something that, as I say, that Gen Z audience understands probably far better than we do. But it's a product that there's a market for currently, and therefore, you know, as the head of sort of commercial growth of the football club, I have to be really open-minded to that.
Would you be keen though to protect supporters from any big risks on something like that?
Of course, and that's really why we'd go through a very, very strict due diligence process, because, you know, we absolutely want to make sure that we can support and we can protect supporters wherever we can. Of course, look, it's ultimately an investment, and, you know, those supporters choosing to invest in crypto, one hopes would make their own judgment on the risks, but of course, as a club, we'd do everything we could as well.
And one final one, Ross, membership plans, anything new on that front? Obviously, the membership is big here at Wolves, and there's a lot of people who are members and not season ticket holders. Is there anything you can update us on that?
Look, I think our plans for membership remain similar to previous years. We had a great season last year. I know that we made a few changes, again, predominantly following Ask Wolves, where fans were asking us about and getting frustrated by the fact that they were paying their membership but still couldn't get access to tickets. So we made some changes last year. We introduced Membership Plus to try and still reward that loyalty of members that have come to every game, but also open up a pool of tickets to any member to be able to come to Molineux. And that's proved, you know, really, really successful. And we're certainly going to continue to follow that journey, because, you know, we want people to be able to experience, you know, this stadium and to be able to come here, you know, to that really buzzing match atmosphere.